Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY 2025 earnings conference call of Moneybox Finance Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal the operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ankit Jain from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Robin. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you to the Q2 and H1 FY 2025 earnings call of Moneybox Finance Limited. To discuss this quarter's business performance, we have from the management Mr. Mayur Modi, Co-founder, Mr. Deepak Agarwal, Co-founder, Mr. Shubham Jhetia, Senior Manager Finance. Before we proceed with this call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. For more details, kindly refer to the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on the company's website and stock exchanges. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to management for their opening comments, and then we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ankit. This is Deepak Agarwal. So good afternoon, everyone. I'm pleased to welcome you all to the second earnings call of Moneybox Finance. Our financial results and investor presentations have been uploaded on the company website and exchange, and I hope you have had the chance to review them. Joining me today are Mr. Mayur Modi, Co-founder, and Mr. Shubham Jhetia, Finance Manager of Moneybox Finance. Guys, before we dwell into our Q2 performance, I would like to take a moment to discuss the broader context within the NBFC sector. Over the last two quarters, our industry has encountered multiple headwinds. Initial disruptions came from the extended election period and an intense summer heat wave, which were then compounded by heavy rainfall and flooding in several states from July to September. If this was not enough, there has been some uncertainty from a regulator perspective, which has dented the confidence of investors in the NBFC sector. In response, our management team has implemented a series of measures. We have strengthened branch-level controls and introduced key technological and personal enhancements, especially on the collection front, and emphasized a focus on the software aspect of our operations. With improvement in the operating environment and these initiatives now in place, we are optimistic that conditions will stabilize in the coming quarters. Moving on to our Q2 performance, I'm pleased to report that our AUM grew by an impressive 69% year-over-year to 769 crores, including our managed book, up from 455 crores last year. Sequential growth in AUM stood at 3%. Our disbursements for the quarter reached 120 crores, marking a 13% increase over the previous quarter of 106 crores. Cumulatively, our total disbursements have now surpassed 1,434 crores. I would also like to highlight the significant growth in our secured loan book last year. Secured loan represented only 12% of our AUM, while this has now increased to 32% as of September 24. By the end of 2025, we maintain our outlook that we will have over 40% of our loan book in the secured segment. It has incremental disbursements towards secured have already increased to 47% now, and month on month, they are on the increasing trend. Our branch network continues to expand, now totaling 141 branches, up from 104 last quarter. We are now active in 12 states, with new branches recently opened in Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, Andhra Pradesh, and Telangana, which has strengthened our diversification. I would say that now we are a pan-India player. Our total income rose by 74% to 49.56 crores from 28.5 crores last year, reflecting the growth in both our business and AUM. Our operating expense as a percentage of AUM is maintained at 13% in Q2 compared to 12.7% in FY 2012, OpEx has been almost halved over the last 3 years, dropping from 24.5% of AUM in FY21 to 13% currently. And I'm sure we will maintain the declining trend in the OpEx as we grow in our scale. Incidentally, the yield and spread continue to remain stable at 29% and 15.5% respectively for the quarter, which you have noticed in our investor presentation as well. So despite a low yield on secured book, our spreads remain stable and NIM has remained stable as well. Our return on average AUM for the quarter is 1.1% and return on average equity stood at 4.2%. As you would have seen, this is largely led by the higher trade cost in this quarter. Although some impact from bonus also was the reason, the decline is largely driven by the elevated credit cost and very, very significant branch extension. So we have almost 36% jump in just one quarter in the number of branches. On the collection efficiency, there was a dip, which contributed to increase in our DPD. For September quarter, the collection efficiency was at 93.2%, comparing with 97.6% in second quarter last year. And 30 plus DPD stood at 5.45%. We have mentioned in our presentation that collection efficiency in secured loans is significantly higher at around 97%. While the credit cost stood at 3.85% for the quarter, which is, we agree that it has been highest since inception. Besides external environment, absence of correction team is what largely led to high DPD, which is now resolved, and results will be visible in coming quarters. Regarding asset quality, our gross NPA inched up in Q2 to 2.78% with our net NPA at 1.41%. Provision coverage ratio stood at strong 50%. We remain prudent in building adequate buffers for any future contingencies. Our capital adequacy ratio is healthy at 40.64, largely aided by the recent equity raise, and our tangible net worth stood at 264.53 crore, which is a significant jump over the last quarter. We reported a profit after tax of 2.03 crores, showing a 48.6% growth year over year. On the borrowing front, we continue to expand our partnerships, including 10 banks. We also raised equity of 176 crore, which is more than double our net worth in Q1, out of which 63 crore equity and 113 was warrants. And 91 crore is already received in second quarter, and balance 85 crore is receivable before March 26. Our mission remains to support micro and small enterprises in small towns while balancing their interests with ours. As a regulated entity with a zero tolerance compliance policy, we continuously refine our processes and address any areas of potential improvement, fully adhering to both the letter and spirit of regulations. I would again like to summarize hits and misses of the quarter. So on the top of the list is branch expansion, which has been the largest, where we opened 28 branches just in the month of September, and overall 37 branches in last quarter, increasing our branch expansion by 36% in just one quarter. So this last quarter see a very, very significant focus in terms of expansion, which actually led to significant rise in the number of employees as well. But this will, although on a short term you will see a rise in OPEX because of this, but this will set us in very good place in terms of growing our AUM in coming quarters. The second hit was equity raise of 176 crore. Now this, with this AUM from an 18-month perspective, what we have said is that just in terms of raise, we will be doubling our net worth, plus the profits, which will significantly increase the net worth. And this net worth is adequate for a 2,000 crore, over 2,000 crore kind of AUM. So what, from an investor perspective, we are saying, a minimum doubling of net worth and tripling of AUM over an 18-month period from the last equity raise, although I'm sure that we will be raising more equity in coming quarters. The third biggest achievement has been a secured portfolio growth. So now out of 153 branches, only 71 branches can do unsecured plus secured both. All the incremental branches are doing only secured business. And incrementally, we have already reached 47% secured disbursement, which will only increase in coming quarters and in coming months. On the business side, I would say that a very stable kind of AUM with only marginal growth is one of the misses, but I would say that is largely due to the external environment, and this can happen in this industry, but given the kind of team we will have, I believe that as market starts to pick up, which it has already started from September onwards, we will at least believe that we will not be behind in terms of, you know, FY26 target, which we have already shared with you. So in terms of that, you know, we are at a good pace. The biggest miss, which I feel, is on the collection and credit cost. I think this has been not just external factor. There has been some thing on our side as well, because earlier the collections have been always good. So we, I think, missed having a dedicated collection team or hiring an agency for collection, which is now resolved. 31st of August, we just had zero collection, dedicated collection team, because in all our presentations, we have said that it's sale and collect model. End of September, we had 40 people internal, and we have also started with agencies, and we can already see the change which is coming, maybe because of rigorous follow-up and also because of the improving environment. I'm sure that this will improve, and I would just mention here that there was a COVID time in April 2020 where we saw PAR reaching to 20+, 30+ PAR, and then 14% in May. Again, in the second COVID, we have seen that, you know, 30+ reaching around 5%, but all comes to a normal position. So this 30+, which you see, is not a normal position. There are two things. One is that secured is anyway doing much better, which we have shown in the presentation. And I think as with rigorous follow-up improving market conditions, each quarter you will see a significant improvement on the collection and credit cost front. With this, I conclude my remarks and thank you, all our esteemed stakeholders, for their wholehearted support in the long-term journey of the company. On behalf of Moneybox Finance, I thank everyone for attending this call. Now I request the moderator to open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, everyone.
Certainly, sir. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Mihir Shah from Riddhi Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. My first question was that, like, we have been talking about a credit gap in this space, but, like, with so many customers being over-leveraged, is there really a credit gap in this space, or, like, we need to reevaluate that?
Okay. So what I would say is, you know, today, as you see the regulatory environment, where they say that, you know, there are players having a 2,000 crore book at 120% annual interest rate. There are large players who are still having an APR of 80% plus. There is, on the ground, you will know, there are many markets where people even charge on an unorganized market a 10% per day kind of interest rate. So I think we cannot ever debate that whether there is a credit gap, you know, especially in the rural markets. I very strongly believe that there is a credit gap which exists. In the meanwhile, you know, because, you know, it happens that some customers get overserved, some customers, because of the market dynamics, especially when it happens with the digital lending only, that, you know, you require banking, you require ITR, you require bank statements. Especially that part of the community gets overserved there. I still believe that there is a large scope. There are sometimes in between, there are, you know, challenges which comes up. You know, market can go here and there. But overall, you know, credit penetration is still very low in India. So just to answer your question, I think the gap is huge. It's just that players need to find a right kind of customer and, you know, even in terms of financing, you know, how to lend and how to ensure that customer does not get over-leveraged. So there is a balance which needs to come there. But I believe that demand is not lacking. Demand is still there.
Got it, sir.
In between, you know, in between, definitely you have cycles. So, you know, so as you say, even in commodities, we need everything in India. I mean, everything is underserved. But yes, in between, you have cycles where you see less demand for anything. So that is always possible. But overall, if you ask me, the penetration is very less in India still.
Got it, sir. And another question that I had was, like, last quarter also we had a feeling that this might be the worst of credit quality that we might feel, but it, you know, got even worse. So, like, do we have any tangible numbers on the collection efficiency or something that we can expect from the next quarter onwards?
I think what I exactly said is that as I said, that it's not just external environment. It definitely is. There is an external environment which is playing, because now you see multiple policies from Reserve Bank of India, like not asking MFI not to do netting off of loans. So there are credit concerns which could arise. But what we feel is that where we lagged, whether in first quarter, whether in Q4 of last year, or whether in last quarter, in terms of rigorous follow-up, we thought it might get, you know, adjusted on its own, or maybe, you know, we took a later decision in that. But now I believe that, you know, especially seeing the results which we have been seeing in last 1 or 2 weeks, collections are coming. So I really believe that, you know, things will settle up now. You know, it was a double hit. You know, the AUM was not growing and collections were lacking. And, you know, you had many reasons there. You had election season. You can't do the disbursements because, you know, doing a mortgage loan at that point of time is difficult. Every time election comes, you have allocation issues. So you don't get, you know, that kind of comfort in the market. Then you have, you know, heat waves, then floods. I mean, if you hear about South India, things like Rajahmundry, Vijayawada, etc., they have served the worst floods in the last 65 years. So things have been bad, and I think with time things will improve. So even in unsecured segment, although we feel it's completely unsecured, we should not forget that, you know, people are concerned about their civil track records. So I think things will come up, and, you know, from here it will improve. Overall, market-wise, I feel still there is a pain. So this quarter will still see a pain. But because there has been some deficiency on our side in terms of, you know, internally, which we have kind of resolved, things should improve at a company level.
Got it, sir. Do we have any tangible internal target that we are trying to achieve with collection, that this should be our bar or something like that?
Exactly at this point of time, you know, if you ask me in terms of guidelines, I feel anything more than 3% CAR in a 30+ is not acceptable to us. That is the what we will say should be the highest number. Having said that, you know, it is high, looking high in this quarter, which we really feel will settle down. You know, we will see some improvement in this quarter, and definitely next quarter again should see the improvement.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much. Yeah, my only concern was that, like, we do not rely on the high growth to, you know, make our credit quality numbers look small. That was probably
definitely not. It has always been a very, very strong on collection kind of thing, but we realize that, you know, as with increasing AUM, we, and especially when the market is not really strong, we need to be very, very rigorous in terms of our follow-up. So that's now what we have started. I believe that will yield result.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Shah from Sumaria International LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, yes. You're audible.
Yeah. So, sir, one of the questions that I wanted to ask, that we have always stated that, you know, 3/4 of our loan book is to the essential segment. So, yes. I understand the reason behind this deterioration in credit quality when the most of our customers, their earning profile is not so volatile. So, can you help me guide that?
So, as I said, Harsh, yes, it is essential sector, but you see, even when we do essentials, for example, when we do cattle livestock loan, the customer do get impacted by seasonal circumstances. So when you have heat waves, the yield of milk will fall every time in the first quarter. To some extent, yield falls. You know, the second quarter is, the second half is always better. And then, as we said, that we never do cattle loans on a single income basis. So there are always two income, primarily agri income. And now when you have heat waves and when you have floods or erratic rains, their incomes get impacted. So, you know, last year their income got impacted. This year again, there has been, you know, issues. Now things are moving up in that direction. So you will see that rural demand is picking up. At least it is doing better than urban demand. So, you know, things get impacted, and then, you know, in bad times, what we realize that, you know, anyways, in collection has to be strong in the kind of segment where we operate. So some dip in income, we realize that what we need to ensure is that we should be very, very rigorous in terms of follow-ups, you know, which is now very, you know, really improving a lot. So I would say that, you know, even when COVID came, you know, we saw that dip. It's not that there was no dip in, you know, COVID and COVID-2 or lumpy skin disease. There will be slight dip, but then this thing comes back. So it is not a permanent, so I would say it's a flu, not a cancer. You know, things do come back, you know, although at that point of time, we feel that, you know, market has really gone bad, but that's not the case. So people do, you know, these are not a customer who have, you know, left the city or something like. Whatever we have given, they have their houses there. They have been living there for 40 years since their birth. So, and, you know, they have a regular income. So it will come back.
Okay, sir. And also, sir, like, at the time of disbursement, the unsecured loans specifically, so but we, like, see that what person, since our borrowers have more loans outstanding already, are we also facing a problem of over-leveraging in our book, or is that not a problem?
See, largely, there are both the criteria. If numbers of loans are too high, that also matters. But see, for every lender, it is driven by, you know, FOIR. So, I mean, what percentage, so if someone has, say, for example, someone has a monthly income of 2 lakh and he has 10 loans, including consumer CD loans, but the EMI serving is only 30,000. So we cannot at that point of say that this customer is over leveraged. Maybe he has a not so great borrowing habits, but then we can't say him he's over leveraged. So there are both the criteria, one in terms of FOIR eligibility, which is always seen. It's never the case that it was not seen. It is seen even today. It's just that now we have to be a little bit more cautious than before, not just because of our loan. So if customer has been running in a cycle wherein he has been borrowing through MFI, he has been borrowing online loans, which we have to believe may not come again with that kind of pace. So maybe he is not able to get the unsecured loan, which is our, which is online digital at that pace, or or maybe MFI loans are not renewed at a pace they were renewed earlier. So that buffer you have to keep. But at the end of the day, I think, people are there to serve, and lending will keep on happening, and short-term crisis will be resolved.
Okay, sir. And can you give me the number for like the collection efficiency that are seeing in each individual bucket? Then I just want to understand whether there'll be slippages further or there'll be pullbacks, and the collection will.
Your voice was not clear. Please say that again.
So, sir, I wanted to get a number for the collection efficiency of individual buckets. I want to understand whether there will be slippages further now.
So, what we have given in the presentation is that two buckets, within secured loan and unsecured. So, what you see is collection efficiency in secured is around 97%. And in unsecured, it was around 92.15. And that's not 30 plus, it's 0 plus, which was there. So we have given them in two buckets, secured and unsecured.
Okay. Okay, sir, I'll join back with you.
Fair enough.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask questions, you may please press star and 1. The next question is from the line of Jayesha Shanuksha from TV Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Sir, we picture ourselves very different from the other MFIs like Credit Access, Grameen and other ones.
So we are not MFI. So first of all, is we never say we are MFI. MFI is group loans, which we have never done in the past. The ticket size in MFI is largely below 50,000. We really hesitate to do anything below 1 lakh. So clearly, yeah. We are not an MFI. Yeah.
Yes, sir. NBFC. My bad. So because we say that, right, the clients have multiple incomes and we can get the collections easily. But why are we so late in realizing this, that collection efficiency is not going great? And do we have a team now to get the collections better? And what are the numbers which we are looking at?
Right. So I'm saying that, on 31st of August, we had zero collection team. And on 30th of September, we had 40 people dedicated towards collection. From this month onwards, we also have three large collection agencies, who are doing rigorous follow-ups. And so I think we have, so we have actually done a very deep dive on, on the industry parameters, what percentage of staff is into collection, how does it work, what kind of cost which is incurred. So we have done a lot of work here, and definitely, as I said, it's not just work. There are things which have now started, right? So I think at some stage you realize that, this is one thing which we need to change and which has now come up. It's not that, we had a very large AUM. We still thought that, the sales team can handle it. But we also realize that in some bad times, which is like, last 6 to 9 months, there are things which we have taken into clue. So since last year in May, we shifted our complete focus towards secured lending. So it's not that we did not realize that what is coming, how unsecured is moving, what could regulators say, and, how things are shaping up. So we have taken, so there are things which we have done. There are things, which you maybe you can always go wrong in 1 or 2 quarters, but the point is that you take corrective measures, and on a analyzed basis you try to correct your mistakes or improve upon. I would say not just mistakes, just to improve the processes which are required to be improved.
So now you're stating that we have teams for doing improving the collections, and the numbers would be better.
Number should get better. See, we already, since inception, we always had better recovery and collection model. Just with the sales team. But yes, now things, because the AUM is increasing, I think some dedicated personnel were required, and we have taken that step. And now from here onwards, it will improve. So it's the start of the process which has happened, and we are seeing some results on a day-to-day basis. So that gives me a belief that things will improve from here. And also the external environment will improve. So we should not forget at the same time that, you know, market has been bad. Market has been a little bad. And what we see is that what we disbursed in August versus what we disbursed in October, it's 100% growth. So month on month, things are improving. And, you know, it will start yielding results.
Yes, my second question is, what are the revised guidelines for the ROE and the growth in this sector as a whole, maybe, and also for your company, in terms of ROE?
So we are not, so on the both side, in terms of growth, see, we are not right now, you know, revising the guidelines. What we said for 26, we are still committed to that. What we know is that obviously, so to all the banks in this year, you know, starting from day one, we gave a guidance to them in terms of, you know, AUM of 1300 crores. So, you know, it depends also on how the environment, you know, if environment gets better and better, we can still reach that number of, say, 1250, 1275 kind of number. The point I'm making is that we have the staff now with almost 80 branches average or 75 branches average. In the last 4 months of last year, we disbursed 360 crores. Now we have double that number. If we disburse double of that, forget about double of that, even if we disburse 600 crores, we will meet our guidance. The only thing we need to see is how market shapes up in coming months. So I believe that, you know, whatever we have guided, we may or may not, you know, be late by, say, a one quarter here and there. But things don't look bad, that, you know, it will not recover. On the ROE front, again, I would say that, see, one thing conceptually what we have to agree upon, which is visible on the balance sheet as well, that today we are sitting on a 16.5% NIM. We have a 15.5% spread. So there is no business model issue here. For a 16.5% NIM and 15.5% spread, today on balance sheet, my average cost is 13.5%, average borrowing cost, not the incremental, but the average. So while the incremental has been 12%, the last loan we got from HDFC Bank was at 11% in this kind of market. What I believe is there is absolutely no reason that in coming years we will have borrowing cost which is more than our peers. So there are large peers who are borrowing at 9.5% with 100% of loans in priority sector lending criteria. 2/3 of the loan is in agri and allied, and a very large portion into SMF. There is no reason to believe that our cost will not decline. So cost on balance sheet level can decline by 4%. You know, in terms of interest rates, borrowing. OPEX, because it looks high, because, you know, there have been, you know, the way it has been, whether it is credit cost, this thing like I mentioned. If you just take the numbers where, you know, where you see what kind of spreads and NIMs we are operating at, 5-year average of credit cost we had. See, one or two VAT quarter can't be a guidance on how company will do in future. So, and you will arrive at the number we have guided in the past, that over a stable scenario, we will be a, you know, good ROE company. The numbers I have shared in the past. The first target is to reach 15% ROE as soon as possible and then to increase. But see, again, I would say that, you know, one or two quarters here and there does not impact your overall business model. So what is visible on the thing is that, one, you should look at NIMS, where we can how far we can reduce our borrowing cost. On that front, if you see that, you know, business model has its strength, and there is no reason why we will not have a good ROA and a good ROE. But yes, it could take some time. In the growth phase, what you should look at that, you know, AUM is growing, net worth is growing. I already said that with just the current commitments, we are saying over an 18-month period, in terms of raise, we are doubling our net worth plus the profits. Plus, if we raise next year, which we have to do, we have been raising every year. So see from that perspective, how fast net worth is improving. Business AUM growth is there. Cost is declining. Incremental cost of borrowing is coming down. We started with 18%. We have reached the lowest at 11%. Market is not that great, so I believe maybe not 11% in all the cases, maybe still maintain 12%, but everything is improving from that front. And at a smaller AUM, one good guy you hire, I mean, say one unit head you hire, it impacts your, you know, OPEX. But over a period of time, you know, these things, you know, subside, and, you know, ultimately you will reach a point wherein, you know, you have a lower OPEX overall.
Got it. So you're saying the 12% ROE, which was stated earlier, was hold true?
For this year?
Yeah.
For this year, I would not say. I'm not sure. For this year, we will be able to do 12%. Let's see, you know, how times shape up. At least we should maintain what we did last year. Maybe improve upon it. Let's see. So time will tell, but I'm just trying to tell you that, you know, when, if you are able to give us a, if not 100% AUM growth, if you are able to grow at 70%, if you are able to, you know, increase the net worth by 70%, you know, definitely on the absolute number, you can increase your PAT. So I think these are the things should be seen in the not so great environment. So whether you're growing at a good space or not. So what we could achieve easily, I mean, through our efforts, which is like branch expansion, we have did that. So at this stage, you know, having a pan-India presence and continuously showing you that, you know, we are there in terms of geographic expansion. So the things which are in our hand, we are doing. Some things are left to the market. But, you know, some things you can't control, especially over a 3 to 6 month period. But I think things will improve from here.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Mihir Shah from Riddhi Enterprises. Please go ahead. Mihir Shah, your line has been unmuted. You may proceed with your question.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, hi sir. My second question was like, we have been talking like how different borrower profile that we have from MFIs, like our borrowers have multiple incomes and all. But if you look at the from the collection front even now, then, you know, some of the MFIs are doing a lot better, say Credit Access, Grameen or other. So why is that the case even when we have such a good borrower base compared to MFIs?
So as I already said in my entire earnings call, I said that, you know, I accepted that mistake that, you know, we have done better on all fronts except for the collection front. So this is where I would say that, you know, there has been, other than the external factors, there has been some deficiency on our side, which we have now corrected it. So I take your point absolutely that we should have done better on the collection side, given the kind of customer, the kind of underwriting we have been doing. So there has been some lag on that front, which I really hope that, you know, at least you don't raise the same question, you know, 2 quarters from now.
Got it.
So I take that point. You know, there has been, you know, some. So I think there are stuff which we have done. So last quarter has been a lot of work. You know, you would know what kind of fund we were raising, which got impacted because of the external environment. But, you know, what kind of expansion we have done, what kind of, you know, things we have done operationally. So last year, same point, 40% of the collections were coming in cash and that number has now reached to say about 20% in cash. So there are a lot of operational improvements which we have done. There's a point which we have missed, and I believe that, you know, we'll sort this out.
Got it, sir. And so my second question was like on our accounting basis. So like what I've been observing is that like our net NPAs are piling up more than we have been doing in the before, and like other players have a stricter norms of, you know, writing off loans, and we just write off provision for 50% of the loan. So like how do you see that? Like, do you see this unsecured loans which have gone bad coming back, you know, even after a long time, like 30 days or for 60 days or something like that, or maybe we'll see stricter provisions in the future?
I think we are never less on provisions. We have a policy that, you know, for all 90 day cases, we make a 50% provision. So this is without any exception. And in a 360 day, 1 year period, we take a complete write off. So there are many players who keep the book for 3 years before writing it off. So I would not say that we are too aggressive on that stance. It's a 90 and 360 day policy, and I think we are writing off based on that number, based on that policy. So we are reasonably conservative here. I don't see that we are very aggressive here.
Got it, sir. And like, sir, in the past, how has been our experience on this front? Like, do actually the 50% of loans after 90 days and being unsecured, do they actually come back or do they not come back?
Past experience has not been that great, but I would still say that, you know, we've never followed up as well. So in the past 5 years, so if you ask me how many cases out of, you know, now today we having, you know, 60,000 customers, how many cases we have filed? We have just filed 9 cases, you know, in a write-off cases. So that what I said, that, you know, on this legal front, on, you know, recovery front, we have been little lenient on that front. Now we have a very different strategy going forward, that, you know, we would try to recover maximum amount possible. So in all the buckets now we have a different strategy in terms of you know, how to collect, you know, go full on the legal cases as well. So I think recovery there will improve.
Got it, sir. Thank you, sir. Yeah, I really appreciate your acceptance and openness on the collection side. And like, I saw that even on the previous con calls, I think few of the investors had concerns about collection methodologies that we had, but I think now those will get addressed. Thank you so much.
Right.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Shah from Somaria International LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks for the follow-up. So one of the questions that I wanted to ask was that our major competitor in South India has significantly like reduced its yield by 200 basis points now, incremental loans in the secured space. So I want to know how will this affect us and what is our strategy to, you know, mitigate this impact?
So Harsh, what we largely have to understand, I tell you, we recently gave, although this is not the right answer, but I tell you that we have recently given a secure loan to a person who has been taking digital loans without realizing what kind of interest rate he's giving at, say, 115% APR. So this market, what we have to understand is, as a policy, when we do unsecured loans, so what I'm telling you, how do we determine our interest rate? So what we see is that the largest competitor in that particular space, and what is the yield he's getting. So when we decided on the yield of unsecured loan, we again saw players who are like 5, 6, 7 times us for a similar ticket size, for a similar loan, what they are charging. And we may be charging maybe 20 basis points lower than them. And plus we may be giving other benefits like web services and all. So again, for secure loan, we will see that, you know, so till now we have been operating in North India. So we have seen that, you know, the largest player, you know, who have like, you know, 20 times, 50 times our book for that particular segment. So you have to realize that, you know, my average ticket size in secured is 3 lakh. So what we have to see is up to 5 lakh bracket, what are the peers charging? And our pricing is lower than them. So 100 to 150 basis point lower than them, you know, in that segment. South India, I understand which you're referring to, it's just one customer who maybe now become a 200 basis point, 250 basis point cheaper. But then there's a large market. I mean, there are players who are charging like 500 points more. So there's market for everyone. And that's, you know, when you say that, you know, whether multiple names, you know, you can see in the digital lending side, people are borrowing at 50% also, 60% also, 80%. There are people who have an average APR of 100%, so 100% yield per annum or 110% yield per annum with a 2,000 crore book. So I'm just trying to tell you that there are customers at all pricing. It depends on how well you serve them, how fast you disburse them, you know, then there are some other factors also which you give. So that 200 basis point does not impact a lot. And then we will review as time progresses, we will see what to do. Today, I don't think, you know, any of my customers in last 5.5 years who will refuse because my rate of interest is high.
Right. Okay. Okay, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, sir. That was my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mihir Shah from Riddhi Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. My last follow-up questions were that, like, we have been seeing that for MFIs, RBI has been, you know, revising their guidelines and banning them for higher interest rates. So is there a chance that something like this could happen to us as well?
I think we are a very small company. I don't think RBI is going to come to us. But then, you know, as I said that, you know, see numerically, you know, if you see that, you know, what NFI is doing, they are lending at 26-27%. You know, and then you have a full lot of larger players who are lending at similar pricing. The topmost thing is, you know, we are not lending at, say, 35%. Our secured loan pricing at this scale also is very competitive, you know, when you compare it with peers. So even very, very large business houses, you know, who have very, very strong lineage of promoters are lending at, say, about, say, 23-24% a loan which is less than 5 lakh. We are just there at, say, around 25%. And even lower cost when it is a second loan, they're just there. So I would say that 100 basis point, 200 basis point does not make a difference. And, you know, no regulator. See, it's never, although in the news you will see that you might feel that, you know, just overnight RBI did something. RBI will come, do the audit. They will see our borrowing cost. They will say our OPEX, you know, and then they will see where if we are charging something which is not warranted. At the end of the day, and please understand, you know, it's the market forces which will play around. You know, today, the kind of loan which we are giving, SDFCs of the world, SBIs of the world, they cannot lend to this customer. They will never lend, say, 1.5 lakh loan ticket. Even when, I give an example, even when SDFC does that, the cattle insurance costing is so high that you end up paying 27% yield. So it is need to be understand that this market is important to be served. And, you know, what I've said, there are borrowing costs, there are credit costs, there is a collection cost, which all need to be comprised. You know, I can today, without realizing, I can say that, you know, give at 18%. What if no one is ready to give it that price? So I think short term, you see, you know, things happening. There was a time in 2007, 2008 when you had 9 operators in each circle, telecom operators. But see what happened. You know, ultimately market readjust. There are players who will realize that at this price they cannot do it. So either they will exit or, you know, market will change that way. So I think it was a very, very high growth on a personal loan segment, which RBI realized taking steps. But overall, you know, you don't do business for a quarter or two. I think over a period of time, you know, things will settle down.
Right, sir, got it. And sir, I have one more fundamental question. So, when we are giving loans at 30% or 32%, is that actually a win-win proposition for a customer starting their new business? Because like most of the businesses do not earn those kind of returns. So, I wanted to understand how sustainable is that, and how is it a win-win proposition for our customers?
So, I think there is a very, very problematic area, which see. If I'm running a large organization, I may feel that if a large organization, which is, say, a manufacturing organization or something, and if it is borrowing at 15%, I will have a problem that they will not be able to generate that kind of return. So for them, the cost of borrowing should be a single-digit cost of borrowing. But that is not true for my kind of borrower. So, you know, someone who is buying a cow for a 40,000 with land, there is no spend on land, there is no spend on labor. If you talk about cattle loan, he will buy a cattle for 40,000, which is a lactating cattle, and you know he will recover 40,000 in its first cycle itself. And then every year you have a calf, you have a, say, whatever, you know, 7-8 year kind of life for animal. It's actually more, but I'm just telling you. So there is an income which is there. You know, you will see, you can see in many podcasts, also, you know, when people, you know, very high level people say that, you know, with one cattle at home or with two cattle at home, you can, you know, run your family. So it's the yield is different. When you give to a kirana shop, he buys a 1 lakh worth of inventory and it's fast moving. If he earns 10% profit on that, he's making 10,000 monthly profit on that. And what you're charging is very different. Even at say 2%, what you're charging is say 2,000 on 1 lakh. The problem area is that, you know, if you stop these kind of lending, which is at say 24, 26 or say even 30%, you are giving the chance for them to be exploited by people who give you 5,000 in the morning and charge 500 interest rate. And this is a true picture, which is still happening in India. So I think what we have to understand is that it's not that high. See, there is a collection cost for this kind of, you know, there's a sourcing cost for this level, you source, you pay, you collect, you pay. There are expenses, and, you know, these people are able to get that return. And that's why this industry is surviving. If there are no returns, if my borrower is not making, 2x return, why will he borrow? So that returns are there. So that is the key understanding one needs to understand, that returns are there in this business.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as our last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ankit Jain for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Govind. I would like to thank the management for taking this time out for the conference call today, and thanks to all the participants. If you have any queries, please feel free to contact us. We are Orient Capital, Investor Relations Advisor to Moneybox Finance Limited. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Moneybox Finance Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.